In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Digital Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado. At least I am. Wherever you are, welcome to this worship service. And I suppose whenever you are, because we'll post this on the YouTubes, whenever you are, also welcome to worship. A couple things before we get started. First, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion today. So if you need to go and make sure that you have bread and wine or grape juice on your home altar, now is a fantastic time to do that. Here at Grace Lutheran, every month we have a different ministry organization that we label and mark as a partner in ministry that we collect contributions for, and then the Grace Foundation matches the first $2,000 worth of contributions toward that ministry. And so our partner in ministry for the month of September is the ELCA Racial Justice Ministries. So our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, believes that Christ's church is for all people, regardless of, well, really anything, regardless, period. Christ's church is for everyone. And so the ELCA, our denomination, works very intentionally to recognize barriers that are set up that keep people from relationship with one another. So our denomination works hard to recognize those. And also we work really hard and do everything that we can to dismantle those kind of barriers. So the barriers that separate us from each other, we do our work as a denomination as well as we can to break those barriers down, including the barriers that are systemically woven into the fabric of this nation, especially vis-a-vis race relations. And so we're making contributions this month to the ELCA Racial Justice Ministry that spearheads the work that our denomination does. So you are invited to make a contribution toward that work that we at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder are participating with the bigger denomination in doing, remembering that the first $2,000 of contributions that Grace receives will be matched by the Grace Foundation. Closer to home, every alternate Wednesday, we have a Wednesday evening prayer service, and that will be happening this coming Wednesday evening. We gather together out in the courtyard. There's a certain number of people that we can have because of physical space and distancing requirements. So I invite you to use the Google document that's linked in the back of the bulletin to sign up for that evening prayer service if you would like to be here. And then on the weeks that are not evening prayer services, I've been posting a video devotion reflection on YouTube, so you're welcome to track that down as well. You may have figured out, just based on the prelude, the musical invitation to worship, and by the fact that he's not sitting right there, that Boyd is gone on vacation this week, but he and Katya recorded all of the music ahead of time, and so that will be woven into the fabric of our worship digitally because it feels like it's magic. But they did all that work a week ago, and so they will be here by the push of a computer button. So that's one thing that we're experimenting this week in this digital format. There's one other thing that we're experimenting with, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'll just wait to see if you notice what changes during the liturgy. Tomorrow is Labor Day, which is not a church holiday, but a societal acknowledgement of the work that is done to keep our society functioning in healthy and good ways. And so we still, though it's not a church holiday, we still recognize that holiday and the work that you do. So for you that are tuning in, thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for the work that you have done. And we, as a society, celebrate that tomorrow. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, our Savior, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First reading is from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood will require at your hand. If you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God. We read together Psalm 119 by verse, responsibly by verse. Teach me, O God, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments. By your righteousness, enliven me.
The second reading is from the 13th chapter of Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling or drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, put on Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of light, thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault where two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on anything on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So I have to admit that I am scared of Matthew 18. Matthew 18 that we just read, with the instruction about how to confront your neighbor who has sinned against you, scares me. I got scared of Matthew 18 in seminary when I was instructed that as a pastor, I would have to enforce Matthew 18. That when a member of the congregation misbehaved, I would be the one to go and talk to that person. And, you know, in seminary, I hope I'm not telling tales out of school. But in seminary, there's plenty of talk about members of the congregations that the folks in seminary will go to serve. There's plenty of talk about how much they misbehave. So I was worried about Matthew 18. And truth be told, I'm probably not still scared of Matthew 18, but I certainly was for a while. But admit it. I mean, admit it. Even if you're not a pastor, take yourself out of that potential role. Admit it. It's kind of a nerve-wracking thing to think about this. I mean, consider somebody's sinned against you, and now you have to go confront them about their sin. Doesn't sound fun to me, because it seems to me that by and large, people don't like to be confronted about their sin. I mean, I can almost see following step one. It's a healthy thing to do, to talk to somebody directly about the conflict that you have with them, about the way they've made you feel. So I can almost see going to talk to somebody individually, a one-on-one conversation. But step two, that's super awkward, it feels like to me. I mean, imagine it. Bill, Linda, can y'all come talk to me, or come with me to talk to Frank? Why? Well, Frank sinned against me and didn't listen to me when I confronted him, so y'all got to come help me confront him again, two or three witnesses and all of that. No, I can't imagine Linda and Bill wanting to be part of that conversation, no matter how biblical it might be. But even if I can convince Linda and Bill to go talk to Frank with me, what happens next if Frank doesn't listen? I mean, I've gone to talk to Frank. He didn't listen to me. All of a sudden, his defenses are up. He doesn't listen to me when I come talk to him with Bill and Linda. What happens next? The whole church conversation happens next, at least according to Matthew 18. So practically, how does that work? I mean, do we do it in the sanctuary? Does the whole church conversation about Frank's sin against me happen during the sermon? Does it happen before the liturgy when everybody's getting ready for worship? Does it happen after the liturgy when everybody's ready to go watch the football game, if there's ever football again? Does it happen during coffee hour down in the basement? Does it happen sometime that's not on a Sunday during the week? Ooh. You know what we could do? We could do it right now on Zoom. We could spotlight somebody and call them out in front of the whole church. And in fact, Amy and I have colluded to spotlight somebody in just a second. No, we haven't done that, so don't get nervous. We have not actually done that. Amy's just now hearing about that right this second, so no. But did you get nervous that you were the one who was going to be called out? Matthew 18 made me nervous in seminary, because I was worried about having to call someone out for their sins. And it made me nervous because I was worried that I would be called out for my sins as well, and then I would be confronted by a couple other people, and then I would be confronted by the whole church, and then I would get kicked out of the church, or I would have to kick somebody out of the church. Which is the way it seems to me that this passage is commonly understood. But here's one of the things that we do as Lutheran Christians. Well, here's one of the things that we don't do. We don't read Scripture in isolation from all the rest of Scripture. And despite the fact that this past week in the mail, the Postal Service delivered to me an unsolicited piece of religious propaganda that had proof texting, where one piece of Scripture is taken all by itself and most of the time out of context. It had proof texting all the way through that letter that I received. And this is not how Lutherans read Scripture. We allow one part of Scripture to have a conversation with another part of Scripture, and then those talking together hear from a whole different part of Scripture as well. And in this way, we explore the breadth and depth of God's grace and mercy in our world and in our lives. But back to Matthew 18, what do we see when we said Jesus' instructions today, especially verse 17, alongside other places in Scripture, especially other places in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus relates to Gentiles and tax collectors? Because Jesus says, let one of them be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. So let's explore just for a brief second. In Matthew chapter 21, tax collectors are going to get into the kingdom of God first. And all throughout Matthew, Jesus relates lovingly to Gentiles, healing and casting out demons. The Canaanite woman we met a few weeks ago, she's a Gentile, and Jesus was called to account by her, listened to her, and healed her daughter. A famous passage in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. You remember that? Another part of Matthew that makes me a little nervous from time to time. That passage, read the beginning of it. That passage is about the judgment of all nations. Yes, Israel, but also all the rest of the nations as well. And you remember which nations are the Gentile nations, right? It's all the ones that aren't Israel. So Jesus judges Israel and all the Gentile nations in the same way. And you see that judgment won't be based on ethnicity at all, but on the way it is that we move through the world. And back to tax collectors, you remember that Matthew, the purported author of Matthew's gospel, was a tax collector who was welcomed into the community that Jesus was forming in those days. So Jesus, all the way through Matthew, is relating with Gentiles and tax collectors at least as well as, and sometimes better than, the way Jesus relates to the Jews. So as we dig through Matthew, we see Jesus interacting with Gentiles and tax collectors. And then he says, treat one of these as a Gentile and a tax collector. Well, how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? But heck, we don't even need to dig through Matthew. Let's just look at the very first line of today's reading from Romans. We didn't have to open the Bible up, just open your bulletin. Owe no one anything, Paul writes, except to love one another. So when we read Matthew 18 from Jesus' perspective, with regard to Gentiles and tax collectors, and when we read Matthew 18 from Paul's perspective, owe one another nothing except to love each other, all of a sudden it becomes a lot less anxiety producing. Since we can see that our goal is not to call each other out. That seems like the goal in society, especially like on Facebook these days. We got to call each other out. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. But our goal in this life of faith is not to call each other out, but rather it's to rebuild relationship that might have been injured at some point in the past. I haven't been around Grace here in Boulder for very long, 6 months, give or take. But every congregation that I've ever been a part of before I came to Grace has certainly needed some rebuilding of relationship in smaller ways or in bigger ways, depending. But every congregation I've ever been a part of before this one has been in need of rebuilding of relationship at some point that had been fractured in the past. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. and guessed that folks at Grace could say the same. Their relationship here at Grace has been in need of being rebuilt and restored at some point, perhaps even today. But what we remember when we start with owing one another nothing except to love, and what we remember, and when we remember, sorry, that Jesus treated tax collectors and Gentiles with an attitude of reconciliation and relationship building and love, what happens when we remember that is we get to start in a really beautiful place with our relationships with one another. We get to start in a really beautiful place of remembering that our neighbor, whoever our neighbor is, that our neighbor is a beloved child of God. From the beginning and at the end, no matter what, our neighbor is a beloved child of God. And then none of us needs to prove that we're right about anything or somebody else is wrong about anything, because each one of you, each one of us, is a beloved child of God exactly as we are. And this we have the opportunity to remember and to remind each other of every time two or three gather together, whether it's in person or whether it's digitally, like we're doing now. Every time two or three gather together, we get to remember that every single one of us is a beloved child of God. For Christ is here in our midst. Thanks be to God. Amen. Church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Unite your church, O God. Grant us the gifts of repentance and reconciliation. Bless the cooperative work of congregations in Boulder and Boulder County. Strengthen ecumenical partnerships. Guide the work of Lutheran World Federation and the World Council of Churches. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Protect your creation, O God. Teach us ways that do not harm what you have entrusted to our care. Renew and enliven places suffering from weather disasters, especially those places affected by Hurricane Laura and by the wildfires in the western U.S. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Turn nations and leaders from ways that lead to death. Shape new paths toward peace and cooperation, teaching us to recognize one another as neighbors. Guide legislators, civil servants, judges, and police departments toward laws and policies that protect the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Tend to all in need of your compassion. Hear the cries of those awaiting justice and those yearning for forgiveness. Give community to the lonely and neighbors to the outcast. Shelter all who are vulnerable in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sustain us in our work, O God, and give work to those who need it. Shape societies to ensure fair treatment for all who labor. Help us to love our neighbors in and through our work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in faith. As you equip them, equip us with your protection and power. Until with them we see your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those who are near to you physically and with those who are near to you digitally in all the magical ways that that happens. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, one cup. These are signs of your abundant grace, uniting us as one in you. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Almighty God, for in the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so with this bread and this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son, and may be filled with your life and goodness. To you, O God, be all honor and glory, today and always. Amen. Lord, remember us in your mercy and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
People of God, this table is God's table, and Christ is the host here, and so everyone is invited to this feast, whether it's this physical table or the one that's in your own homes. Those of you who are by yourselves in your homes, hold on for just a second. Those of you who are with other people, I invite you to serve each other. When you hand your neighbor the bread, say, "The body of Christ given for you." And when you hand them the cup, say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." It's good to hear those things directly as you receive the sacrament. And now, those of you who are by yourselves in your wherever you are, it's good for you to hear those words as you receive the sacrament. So I invite you to take the bread at this time, the body of Christ given for you. And now I invite you to take the cup, the blood of Christ shed for you. For those of you who don't have bread or don't have wine, remember that Luther reminds us that Christ is fully present and God's forgiveness is fully present in each of the elements. Further, those of you who choose not to receive the sacrament or are unable to receive the sacrament for whatever reason today, remember that God's love and mercy and forgiveness are made available to us in myriad ways other than communion. So trust and believe that Christ is with you, period, end of story, no matter what. The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Pastor Matthew, this is the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
And this is the blood of Christ given for you.
Thanks be to God. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your unifying love with all. Through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen.
Amen. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and Holy Spirit the Comforter, bless us and keep us in eternal love. Amen. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Before the postlude, one last final thing. I need to say a tremendous thank you to Amy, who has been working harder than anybody today, going back and forth between three different locations and a whole bunch of different videos to make worship come together in a really smooth and beautiful way. So thank you, Amy, and I encourage you to thank Amy as well. We can go to the postlude now. Thank you.